Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday.
April 1945, the Third Reich's 13th hour. Into the blazing rubble of Berlin parachutes a unit of Allied commandos. Their mission, to kidnap Hitler. We present the 13th hour.
Sunday, April the 29th, 1945.
Henri? Mm-hmm. Are you awake? Oh, I feel so warm and comfortable lying here with you like this. I wish I could remain so forever. Are you listening to me? Have you heard what I have said?
And I have been listening. What is it?
Nothing. You sounded so amusing, that is all.
Amusing? I?
Yes. Oh, I think I will just snuggle up and forget about talking. It is no good. You are not concentrating.
I could concentrate on something else.
And what could it be, I wonder?
Guess.
Very well. I will. Beginning with a kiss. And how am I doing?
Very well. Yes, I'd say you're good at guessing.
Naturally, I am good at doing a lot of things, wouldn't you agree?
Well, I for one certainly seem good at keeping you amused.
You are. And there is nothing I enjoy more than being able to laugh.
Nothing? Well?
There may be one or two things.
What's that?
Later. What?
Tanks. Damn it, tanks!
Oh, no.
Coming this way!
Oh, Henri, not now. I feel so safe.
Come on, get dressed quickly. Here, here's your dress. Now get into this.
The hips are ours.
That's not damn lucky. My pants, where the hell are they? Ah, yes. You don't have that many left now. Besides, they're coming from the south. Shoes, shoes, where the hell are my shoes?
Yeah.
Thanks. How you doing?
I'm managing. I'm almost ready.
Right, there we are. Now don't bother with stockings.
No.
The stairs.
But
there's no time. Come on. We've got to get out of here. Wait. Get behind the wall, quick.
Hurry. What is it?
Get down.
Did you see?
Get down.
Did you see?
Look, now, if you peek through this crack in the front wall, there, you see them? Right at the bottom of the street, faintly visible, in the rubble.
Oh!
You see them?
Something leaping from shadow to shadow, about a dozen, in leather caps. Henri, who are they?
Scouts. We're too loud. Yeah, they're checking out that everything is safe for the tanks to follow. Can you hear the tanks?
I can't see any.
Oh, you don't have to. There they are, all right.
Henri?
Yes.
Who are those men following? Look, more soldiers. Some in helmets, some in fur caps.
Infantry. Backing up the scouts. We're too late.
Now I see them.
What?
The tanks, the first line. Look, see.
Damn it.
Perhaps they will pass on.
Oh, yes, they'll pass. But others will take their place. Artillery teams, mortar units. This whole damn street will be swarming with Russians within the hour.
What did we do?
Nothing. There's nothing we can't do. We're trapped.
Oh, perhaps we could escape through the back. They can't be all on all the streets.
We show ourselves now and some trigger-happy infantryman is likely to fill us full of holes. Okay, let's get back to the cellar.
What will he do there?
Dig in, of course, and wait until things settle down. Maybe the rear units will be quite so nervous.
Indeed, but you will give us up to the Russians?
I don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see.
Ah, Müller. Come in.
Thank you, Herr Reichsleiter Baumann. I had no wish to disturb you so early.
With the present conditions prevailing, I am constantly disturbed.
Of course.
Won't you sit down?
Thank you, Herr Reichsleiter. You know why I have come?
I think I can guess. About SS Gruppenführer Fegelein.
Yeah. I understand that he was removed from his room for questioning by your Captain Schädler.
Not so much my Captain Müller. He is under your command.
At the moment, Herr Reichsleiter, he is receiving all his instructions from you.
Yes, but only for the sake of efficiency and security. To have orders passed from one man to the next.
I understand, Herr Reichsleiter.
I have no desire to offend you, my dear Müller. Please believe me.
Yeah.
You are probably disturbed that you were not informed of all the facts.
What happened?
Happened? Ah, yes. Yesterday evening, Jupa.
Jupa?
Gustav Jupa.
Ah, yeah. The assistant to the Chancellery, representative of our news agency.
Yes, yes. Well, he was monitoring enemy broadcasts, as usual.
The BBC announcement.
You heard?
No, only about it. Yes, it interrupted normal programming, I believe.
Yes. To announce that a special dispatch from America had landed in Berlin.
Something about a so-called peace proposal extended by our government. Yes, I know all that.
If you know it all, why...
I wanted to know about Fegelein's involvement.
Ah, I see. Well, as you know, the matter was preposterous.
Yeah.
Even Jupa knew that. So he continued to get as much information as possible. And learnt that Reichsführer Heinrich Himmler, acting for a Swedish intermediary...
Count Volker Bernadotte, a member of the royal family.
Yes.
What has this to do with the Gruppenführer Fegelein?
According to the dispatch, Himmler had authoritatively stated that he himself was in a position to arrange such a surrender and that he was in favor of such a surrender.
Authoritatively? What arrogance? Yes, yes, I had heard something along those lines, but not quite this. So, authoritatively. Well, well.
Jupa, of course, went immediately to the Führer. We were all there.
We?
General Krebs, General Burgdorf, myself, naturally, and Goebbels.
Goebbels?
Yeah. I don't quite understand why he was there. Ever since he had moved into the Führerbunker with his family, he has followed the Führer everywhere like a lapdog, contributing nothing.
He has only recently joined us here. He is probably apprehensive.
Well, he contributes nothing. And he will only complicate matters. Thank heavens the Führer has decided against informing him of the matter of Rüsselsprung.
Good.
Even when Jupa burst in, Goebbels continued to stand with his mouth hanging open, watching the Führer. Loyalty is one thing, but that kind of adulation...
A little nauseating.
Yeah.
So Jupa handed the Führer the message he had heard broadcast?
Yeah. He made a transcript, typewritten in large letters. You know the Führer's weak eye.
Yeah, yeah.
At first, the Führer looked annoyed. The interruption. But once he began reading, he became flushed.
He was angry.
Furious.
Yeah.
We all could see that. We expected an immediate tirade. Instead of which, he began reading the transcript again, obviously more slowly.
Uh-huh.
And then he handed it to myself and Goebbels to read. While we did so, he seemed to collapse. He sank into a chair and waited till we had finished reading.
Unusual? He must be very dispirited.
Mm. Yes, he was. He remarked rather feebly that he felt it apparent that treachery had replaced loyalty on all sides. And that it was something he would never have expected from Himmler.
Again, the accusations of disloyalty. You assured him, doubtless, that his accusations were groundless.
And as far as we present were concerned, yeah.
Only those present?
However, he interrupted me.
Since no one from the SS was present, he would immediately blame one of us. You did nothing to suggest the contrary?
He was right, though.
Yeah. The Gruppenführer Feiglein. What about him?
He asked to see him at once. Then he changed his mind. Instead, he asked that someone be sent to question him.
You complied with his request?
Of course. What else could I do, my dear Müller? And the Führer said that we were to instruct the Gruppenführer's interrogators that he needn't be gentle.
The Führer must have wanted to know how much Feiglein was aware of this matter, huh?
Yes, most keen.
So, Captain Schädler seems the best candidate for the task.
His methods are excellent. He has proved that in the past.
So, the Führer suspected Feiglein of complicity. Do you?
Why else would he have tried to slip away? Anyway, the Führer was explicit about how we were to handle him. We were to spare no effort, but drain him completely of all knowledge of this affair.
And if he were involved?
We were to take him to the garden and shoot him.
It's done. The whole business was a messy affair.
I can imagine. A Gruppenführer Feiglein has never been noted for his courage.
Captain Schädler had no need for recourse to his imagination. Feiglein told everything before Schädler even began his interrogation.
He was guilty then?
Of complicity, yeah. All the time they marched him up the blockhouse steps and into the garden, he kept protesting.
That he was innocent?
No. That Himmler had forced him to do it against his wishes. He said he had only followed orders. That Himmler was a guilty one.
Well, we do not have the Reichsführer.
The firing squad didn't waste time. They are men who have seen active duty on the Russian front. The chief guard read the finding of the court-martial very quickly.
No doubt in a hurry to return to the safety of his underground room.
Feiglein continued to blabber, pleading to be allowed to see the Führer or his sister-in-law.
Eva Braun? What could she have done?
Doubtless he believes that she would intercede.
On a subject of treason? Never. You know what she is like, Müller.
Of course. She would be more angry than the Führer at Feiglein's betrayal.
Does she know anything yet?
No, but the Führer will inform her in time.
It will be interesting to see her reaction. But I'm sure it will be just as I have said.
Yeah, Herr Reichsleiter. Anyway, the chief guard completed the reading, ending with a sentence. Feiglein howled like a child. The volley of shots was a welcome relief.
As you said, my dear Müller, a messy business.
Yeah.
A man who has made a point of living with such style should know how to die with equal flair.
Well, one less to worry about.
Yes. You may be happy to learn that the Gruppenführer wasn't the only one who has managed to exit from a scene which becomes more sordid hourly.
Oh? There were others?
Yeah, two. But not in the same disgusting fashion as Feiglein. Without disgrace and extinction.
Herr Reichsleiter?
While you were attending to the Gruppenführer, General Robert Ritter von Greim and Fräulein Hanna Reitsch also made their departure.
Huh?
It was deemed that the General was fit enough to fly out of Berlin to take command of the Luftwaffe in place of our dishonored friend, Hermann Göring. Grime left sporting a field marshal's baton handed him personally by the Führer.
Surely he did not fly himself.
No. And even if Fräulein Reitsch could have, the Fiesler Stock in which they arrived could not have been usable. After 2 days in the open under bombardment, it is now only a shattered hulk.
How did they leave, then?
By another small plane, an Arado 96 trainer. It was flown through the Russian ring of guns by a steel-nerved Luftwaffe sergeant. He had received orders to pick them up at the Brandenburg Gate. Russian searchlights tried to discover them, but they managed to escape quite safely.
No one tried to leave with them?
No.
Not even...
No.
So, the business of bringing Grime here was to no avail?
Unfortunately, yes. And all that circus of investing him with a new command became nothing more than a charade. The Luftwaffe is dying so swiftly, the General may discover on arriving at his destination that the only plane he has left to command is the one that flew him out of Berlin.
Well then, Herr Reichsleiter, it may be Rüsselsprung after all.
Rüsselsprung? Yes. But then, my dear Müller, I think we always knew it would be.
Though you and I had hoped it would be simpler, less dangerous.
For him and for ourselves. Mm. Yes.
What is the news from the front, Herr Reichsleiter?
The Russians have begun 3 new main thrusts, one from the south.
No doubt to complete and stabilize the penetration of the Landwehr Canal.
Yes, that is what we believe. Then there is another from the east. That is probably an attempt to shorten at least one end of the central corridor still held by us.
Mm. And finally?
The third offensive is from the north, heading towards the Spree River.
The Spree?
Yes. If you think, my dear Müller, of what the Russians would eventually encounter if they continued in that direction, you would understand their motivation.
What could possibly be... Of course.
The Reichstag.
Oh, but it's completely burnt out. Why?
For some strange reason, the Russians seem to believe that the Führer is headquartered there.
Close?
A little too close. But again, not enough. Some things are still in our favor. They're inaccurate information, for one.
We must urge the Führer to make a decision.
Yes, don't worry. I am doing my best to persuade him.
There are times when I believe that he wishes it all to end right here.
Yes, I know what you mean. When I watched Grimes' departure from the doorway of the bunker, I noticed a slogan scrawled on a ruined wall.
Oh?
Berlin remains German.
Yeah. I understand what you mean.
Until the Führer has made that decision, we cannot trigger the Schachmatt mechanism.
But it's already Rüsselsprung, everything.
I am aware of that, Müller, but nothing can be done till he agrees.
With these new major thrusts by the Russians, only the west end of the corridor remains safe enough to offer any hope to besiege Berlin.
And to us. And we are not sure of even that. General Weidling will be able to inform us about the situation in detail.
General Weidling?
Yeah. He is due to arrive at any moment now. There is to be a meeting with the Führer.
We must be patient. We can't leave until tonight.
That means we are trapped here the entire day.
I know. Nevertheless, we can't risk doing anything until it's dark.
We should have made a break for it when we had the chance.
There wasn't any chance. We've been seen and shot.
Not in that faint dawn light. And it was still a mist or smoke.
We were able to see them. They would have been able to do the same.
I will go mad here. What are they doing?
They've set up gun emplacements right here in the street. Soon this cellar is going to be thick with the smoke.
Here? In front of this building?
Yes. Can't you tell from the closeness of their firing?
Yes, but I had no idea. Oh, heaven.
We must keep calm, that's all. And hope that no soldier becomes curious and starts prowling around.
Whatever would make them do that?
Well, I hope of finding some form of loot among the rubble.
Oh, the cellar. Surely not.
I don't know. They must know that a lot of people have taken refuge in underground basements and such places. Even if they no longer expect to find people there, they must think that something will be left behind in the panic. Something worthwhile.
But we have nothing.
That doesn't matter. The soldiers won't know that. If they come...
If they come. I remember the last time the Russians came. I managed to escape then. Maybe not this time.
Erica, it's no good panicking now. We must wait and hope. And in the eventuality of some Russian surprising us...
They will not touch me. I will not let them touch me. That I promise.
There we have it.
Herr Reichsleiter, what is the matter?
A farce, a complete farce, and one that is desperately unfunny.
The Führer? Then he did not...
Not a word, not even a murmur, nothing.
What's the news from General Weidling? Surely that wasn't so favorable as to make the Führer decide to delay.
It was anything but favorable. According to him, there is a danger that the central pocket of Berlin which we hold may be split in half.
In half.
If the Russians press their attacks from the north and south in the region of a Tiergarten, which is now the narrowest part of the 8-mile belt, then our forces will be cut in two.
And destroyed piecemeal. What did Weidling suggest?
A massed military breakout.
A breakout?
One which he is convinced will carry the Führer to safety.
Did the Führer agree?
Of course not. Would I be so upset if he had?
Oh, no, Herr Reichsleiter.
The Führer declined Weidling's offer, saying it wasn't his intention to be spirited out of Berlin only to wander aimlessly through the German countryside until Russian troops caught up with him and made him a prisoner.
So Weidling has left?
Yeah, without the Führer. But the farce was only beginning.
Oh, Herr Reichsleiter?
There was more with which to contend. Far more.
The 13th Hour. Roger Dwyer as Henry Bascom. Linda Delport, Erica. Gordon Van Royen, Borman. And Robert Dalkirk, Muller. Included in the cast, Glyn Day, John Dennison, Ronald Franz, and Lawrence Salir. Sound effects by Eckhard Barr. Audio recording by Johann Stassen.
You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world. Best Sellers is brought to you every Monday to Friday on Springbok Radio at 9 p.m.
John Lee's dramatic novel, The 13th Hour, is adapted for radio by John Cavigia and produced by Andre Bortner.